Side 1, Braille Speak Classic Tutorial Cassette, prepared by the American Printing House for the Blind, P.O. Box 6085, Louisville, Kentucky, 40206-0085. Toll-free telephone, 800-223-1839. Information concerning warranty, repair policies, trademarks, and so on can be found in the written manual for the Braille and Speak Classic. Read by Fred Gissoni. This recording is tone indexed. The beginning of each item in the table of contents will be indicated by a beep, audible when your cassette player is in fast forward or rewind. Table of contents. Clock and calendar, side 1, tone 1. Stopwatch and timer, side 1, tone 2. Calculator, side 1, tone 3. Speech control, side 1, tone 4. Reading activities, side 1, tone 5. Writing functions, side 2, tone 1. Macros, side 2, tone 2. File commands, side 3, tone 1. Communications parameters in the status menu, side 3, tone 2. Transmit and print text, side 4, tone 1. Other functions, side 4, tone 2. Disk drive, side 4, tone 3. Hello, this is Fred Gissoni, and I'm speaking to you from Louisville, Kentucky. This recording is a tutorial for the Braille and Speak Classic. It's being prepared by the American Printing House for the Blind, P.O. Box 6085, Louisville, Kentucky, 40206-0085. Toll-free telephone, 800-223-1839. Information concerning warranty, repair policies, trademarks, and so on can be found in the written manual for the Braille and Speak Classic. Now for a summary of what you might expect as we journey together through the wonders of Braille and Speak land. I want to begin with a discussion of the Braille and Speak carrying case and the instrument itself before we even think about turning on the power. Then we'll quickly review the controls and get down to the business for which we are assembled here. Once we start actually learning to use the Braille and Speak Classic, our journey will parallel material found in the manual which accompanies your Braille and Speak Classic. This tape will be less formal and will in many cases go into more detail. The carrying case designed to hold your Braille and Speak Classic comes wrapped in plastic. The flap which you must open in order to use the Braille and Speak has a Velcro fastener which attaches it to the body of the case. When you open this fastener for the first time to look inside the case, you'll find a cardboard frame around the inside walls of the case. This is to give the case support until you are ready to fill it with your Braille and Speak Classic. Inside the case, wrapped in tissue, there will be a strap the length of which can be adjusted. At the ends of this strap are hook fasteners like those used on leashes. These hooks clip onto rings at the right and left sides of the body of the case near the Velcro strip, which mates with the cover flap. Just beyond these rings are rectangular openings in the sides of the case. These enable you to use your Braille and Speak controls and connect the battery charger even when the Braille and Speak is in its case. There is a zipper on the inside surface of the flap of the case. It is attached to a small pocket on the inside of the flap in which you might want to carry a small earphone, a key, or any other small object. With the case open and the flap laid back away from you, you'll feel a zipper running along the far side of the case. To place the Braille and Speak in its case, you must open this zipper and slide the Braille and Speak into the opening. The space bar should be toward the Velcro side of the case. Once the Braille and Speak is in its case, close the zipper, attach the carrying strap, and prepare to enjoy your Braille and Speak Classic. Now for a word about carrying your Braille and Speak Classic so that it'll be there when you need it. On the back of the carrying case are two loops. you can pass a belt through these loops and wear your Braille and Speak that way. Personally, I used to hang it around my neck. Some months ago, someone told me that he wears his with a carry strap adjusted so that it'll fit around his waist. I tried it and have been wearing it that way ever since. In this position, as soon as the case is open, I'm ready to write, check the time or date, look up an address or phone number, perform a calculation, or do any of the many tasks which the Braille and Speak Classic can do. Using the strap instead of the loops on the back of the case may give a bit more security. In any case, how to wear your Braille and Speak Classic is a personal decision, but you may want to experiment before making up your mind. As we work together, I'm going to be talking about the Braille and Speak, the Classic, the Braille and Speak Classic. I may use these terms. They would be interchangeable, at least as far as I'm concerned. This is what happens when you don't use a script. The device I'm referring to is the Braille and Speak Classic, made by Blasey Engineering, but exclusively for the American Printing House for the Blind. I'm sure that many of you already have examined the Braille and Speak, but for those who may not have had that opportunity, let's take a quick look at the instrument itself. It doesn't really matter whether the instrument is in or out of its case. Let's assume that it is resting on a table in front of you with a space bar toward you as if it were a Braille writer. It has 7 keys. The space bar runs in a left to right direction closest to you. And keys to the left of the space bar are the keys for dots 1, 2, and 3. Those keys going outward to the right from the space bar are dots 4, 5, and 6. In the lower right corner of the instrument are holes through which sound is able to pass from the tiny speaker inside the Braille and Speak. On the right end of the Braille and Speak are 2 features. You can feel them through the rectangular hole if the instrument's in its case, or you'll certainly have no problem in finding them if the instrument is outside of its case. Nearest you is a rocker switch, which is the on-off switch. When it is rocked away from you, power to the Braille and Speak is turned on, and you hear a voice message which sounds like this.
Braille and Speak Classic ready, help, 1 page.
Braille and Speak Classic ready, help, 1 page. This voice message identifies the instrument as the Braille and Speak Classic. It tells you that it is ready, and that you are in a file or a document called the help file. We'll be hearing more about the help file later, but it contains a listing of the major commands that you'll find useful in operating your Braille and Speak Classic. Now, just beyond the on-off switch is a small jack, like the earphone jack on a transistor radio or tape recorder, and that's exactly what it is. It's an external audio jack. To it, you can connect earphones, a loudspeaker, or a patch cord that you can use for recording the voice signals from the Braille and Speak onto a cassette. During this recording, you'll be hearing voice messages spoken by the Braille and Speak itself. Probably, they will sound different from the voice of your instrument. This is because I have the Braille and Speak connected to an external speaker, which is near the microphone I'm using to record this tape. Just to show you the difference, the small internal speaker of the Braille and Speak sounds like this.
Braille and Speak Classic ready, help, 1 page.
But for the most part, we'll be listening to the external speaker, which sounds like this.
Braille and Speak Classic ready, help, 1 page.
On the left end panel of your Braille and Speak are 3 features. Farthest away, toward the far end of the rectangular cutout, in the carry case, is a hole. It is into this hole that you plug the combination battery, charger, and power supply, which comes with your unit. It is vital that you only use this charger and power supply when powering your instrument from AC current, from household current. If you use any but this battery, charger, power supply, you might very well destroy your Braille and Speak. That sort of damage is not covered by any warranty. When your battery gets low, the Braille and Speak will tell you. It'll say, battery low. When this happens, you should connect your power supply and adapter to house current just by plugging the little box into the wall and attach, well, you've got to use a receptacle, you know. Then you attach the far end of the cable that comes out of the box to the jack we've just been talking about at the left end of your Braille and Speak. It takes about 8 hours fully to charge your battery from the time you've heard the battery low warning. There's another way of telling about how much life you have left on a single battery charge. This is covered in the manual, and it has to do with the battery timer, and we'll be talking about it later. Moving in the direction toward the space bar, you'll find a set of pins and a vertical ridge of plastic and yet another set of pins. These are two jacks, although because they're computer devices, we call them ports. And the one closest to the battery charger, jack, is the serial port connector. It is to this connector that you attach the cable, which runs to a printer, a braille printer, a modem, for using your braille and speak to talk over the telephone, or to connect it to another braille and speak if someone has information to share with you or to receive from you. Finally, the jack closest to the space bar, but still on the left end of the braille and speak case, is the connection point for use with the Braille and Speak disk drive. Any device such as the Braille and Speak Classic has only so much memory. There comes a time when you'll either have to delete, that is, throw away information, or find a place to store it so that you can make room for other things that you might need more urgently. Storing this information on disk is an efficient way to do it because these disks also can be read by other computers, and because disks produced on other computers then can be read by you within your Braille and Speak. Again, we'll be talking about all this later. Now, that covers all the features and controls, so now it's almost time to start pressing on keys and seeing what happens. As I've already said, the Braille and Speak has seven keys, like those of a Braille writer. Six of the keys stand for dots 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. And the seventh key is the space bar. There's an important difference between the use of the space bar on a braille writer and the use of the space bar on the braille and speak. In the case of the braille writer, the only thing that a space bar can do is leave a blank space. It causes the writing point, the embosser, the thing that puts the dots on the paper, to move one space without putting any dots on the paper. The Braille and Speak keyboard is an electronic keyboard, so its space can be used as a kind of a shift. When it's used along with other keys, it lets us tell the Braille and Speak that we want to do something and helps us define just what it is we want to do. As we work together, we'll be using the word chord a lot. A chord is a character, a Braille character, pressed along with the space bar. The letter P, as in papa, is Braille dots 1, 2, 3, and 4. A P chord is Braille dots 1, 2, 3, 4, and the space bar. If you want to think of the space bar as dot 0, a P chord would be 0, 1, 2, 3, 4. A chord is 0, 1, or A in the space bar. J chord would be dots 2, 4, 5 in the space bar, all pressed and released at the same time. So a chord is a character which contains two or more keys, one of which is the space bar. Another word you'll be hearing a lot is the word cursor. A minute ago, I talked about the embossing head of a braille writer moving along the page, putting dots on the paper. The cursor is not something you can pick up, hold in your hand, or mail to somebody else. It's a point of action. If you're reading, it's the spot on the page at which you were looking at any instant of time. If you're reading Braille, it's the tip of your finger. If you're writing with a stylus, it's the point of your stylus. It is where the action is, and we'll be talking about moving the cursor forward by line, word, character, paragraph, or back by these amounts. So, the cursor is basically a record of where we are at any instant in time. Got it? Okay. Now let's start pushing keys and making some noise. I'm quite sure that what you want to do more than anything is write something, read it back, and play around with the hundreds of things you can do with the Braille and Speak. And that's fine. But I want to build a strong house that'll last a long time. I'm going to ask you to do several other things before we ever get to that stage. And the reason for doing it this way is to give you practice in listening to and recognizing the speech of the Braille and Speak, some instant success, and some practice in the use of chords and in issuing commands that let the Braille and Speak know what you want to do. If you're experienced, I'm sorry if this seems slow to you. On the other hand, if you are experienced, maybe you don't need this anyway, but you'll never know what you're missing if you don't listen, will you? So now we begin our in-depth examination of the Braille and Speak Classic with a study of the clock and calendar. One chord that you'll come to know and love in your work with Braille and Speak is the O chord, the letter O and the space bar. Whenever you press it, well, almost every time you press it, Braille and Speak will say option, which is a fancy word for choice or what do you want to do. At that point, you must tell Braille and Speak what you expect of it. To ask for the time, you press the letter T, as in time. So the steps you must take in order to ask your Braille and Speak Classic for the time are O chord, followed by the letter T. When you do, you'll hear the time as displayed by your Braille and Speak clock, and it'll sound something like this.
Option. The time is 5:08 p.m.
It's as simple as that. If we use the letter T to tell Braille and Speak that we have chosen that it should tell us the time, what command should we use to ask the Braille and Speak calendar for the date? Very good. It is, of course, O chord D.
Option. The date is Saturday, August 30, 1994.
The time was 5:08 p.m., the date, Saturday, August 13, 1994. I doubt that your classic will say either of those things, but at least that gives you the idea. At least twice a year, in most states, clocks change, and we have to be able to move the time up or back an hour. If we make a trip from California to Kentucky, or Kentucky to California, or points in between, we have to readjust our clocks. To set the time, that's an option, so we begin with O chord, and then we use the letter S for set and T for time. In this command, a little interaction takes place between us and the Braille and Speak. When you write O chord, your classic will say option. When you press S, it will say set. And you do the T, it'll say enter time, HHMM. What that means is enter the time with two digits for the hour and two digits for the minute. So, suppose we want to set the time for 10:45. We'll enter 10 for 10 and 45 for 45. We'll then be asked to enter A or P for AM or PM. It all sounds like this.
Option. Set. Enter time. HHMM. 10:45. Enter A or P for M or PM. A, the time is 10:45 AM.
Now, before we go any further, we need to say a word about writing the numbers in Braille and Speak commands. Numbers are written not in grade 2 Braille, but in ASCII Braille, we'll be having more to say about that later, or Nemeth Braille, in the four lower dots of the cell without the number sign. The 10 of 10:45 would be dot 2, or a dropped A, dots 3, 5, 6, or a dropped J, and the 45 would be a dropped D and a dropped E, a lowered cell D, lower cell E. And that's how we write numbers. That's how we write all numbers in our Braille and Speak commands. Now, in the case of our 10:45 a.m. command, there's nothing special. Both 10 and 45 each have two digits, but what if you wanted to set the time for 1:06 p.m.? You would enter 01 and 06, followed by the letter P.
Option. Set. Enter time. HHMM. 0106. Enter A or P for M or PM. P, the time is 1:06 p.m.
In order to set the time, you have to know what time it is. Usually, if you're just interested in the casual time set, you can ask someone what time it is, and you can pop the information into your classic. Now, if you want precision, there are time signals, these are mentioned in the manual, the user's guide, which you can use to make extremely accurate settings. One of these is the Greenwich time signal, which is broadcast on shortwave by the BBC. It consists of 6 beeps at the top of the hour. They call them pips. 5 short ones and a long one. They sound about like this. the longer one being the actual mark of the time. Well, they sound better than that, really. If you know it's about half a minute to 10 in the evening, you can have your Braille and Speak ready and have the HHMM set 1000 and wait for the final long pip to do the P for PM. It'd be something like this. Didn't know I could do two things at once like that. Now, the calendar in the Braille and Speak Classic is a current date calendar. It tells us the current date, assuming that we've set it correctly in the first place. Earlier, we heard the calendar say that today is Saturday, August 13, 1994, and it is, trust me. But we're going to set it for December 7, 1941. When we do O chord S, D for date, it'll say enter the date, MMDDYY. Two characters for the month, 12th month, December, 07 for the seventh, and two digits, 41 for 1941. Listen to what happens.
Option set, enter date, MMDDYY, 12074, the date is Saturday, December 7, 1941.
Something is definitely wrong. Most anyone knows that December 7, 1941 is a Sunday, or was a Sunday. We must also set the day of the week. To do this, we enter a number from 1 to 7, Sunday being 1, Saturday 7. To be able to set the day of the week, we must enter O chord SW.
Option set, enter a number for the day of the week. The date is Sunday, December 7, 1941.
Today is Saturday, August 13, 1994, so I want to return to today, and I'll have to reset the date and day of the week.
Option set, enter date, 7, the date is Saturday, August 13, 1994.
Did you notice what happened? The speech kept cutting off. Now, that's because I did not let all of the discussion finished. I knew it was coming. I knew what to do, so I went ahead and did it. You can do the same thing when you're comfortable with it, and very quickly use commands once you know what to expect from Braille and Speak, and once you know what Braille and Speak expects from you. Your Braille and Speak Classic is capable of displaying time in two ways. Either in the usual way,
the time is 10:09 p.m.
or in 24-hour military or European time.
Option, the time is 22:09.
To set American time, we enter O chord S-A for American, and then the O chord S-T command to actually set the time, and then enter the time as we did, H-H-M-M, and then A or P. To set European time, we enter O chord S-E for European time, and then when we enter the O chord S-T, and are asked to enter the time, we are not asked for A or P. We are just asked for the time expressed as HHMM. Remember, midnight is 00, 1 in the morning is 01, and so on until 11 in the evening is 2300. 1159 is 2359, midnight is 0000, and 1 minute past midnight is 0001. That should tell you all you want or need to know about the use of the clock and the calendar. So now, let's go on to consider the stopwatch and the countdown timer. The stopwatch in your Braille and Speak Classic is able to measure time down to the accuracy of a tenth of a second. To make the stopwatch active, you have to enter O chord, another option, what do you want to do, and your choice is W for watch or stopwatch, O chord W.
Option W, stopwatch ready.
Well, here we are with the stopwatch. What do we do now? To start the stopwatch, press dot 6, the rightmost key on your Braille and Speak. But before you do that, I don't know the status of your stopwatch, so we'd better stop so we're all starting from zero. Press dot 3, please.
Stop, reset.
Okay, it said stopped, reset. Now, press dot 6, the rightmost key on your Braille and Speak.
Running,
and it says just that, running. The clock is running. Time is passing as I say these words to you. If I want to call time out, I press dot 6 again.
12 seconds, 6 tenths, stopped.
12 seconds, 6 tenths, stopped. Now, maybe I didn't hear what it said, so I can press the space bar.
12 seconds, 6 tenths, stopped.
And if I want to see what time it is, there we are, it's going again. I press dot 6. I don't want to stop the watch, but I want to see how much time has gone by.
20
seconds, 4 tenths. There was terrible noise just then. Couldn't hear what it said. So I want to hear that time. I press the letter C for Charlie.
20
seconds, 4 tenths. Now, mind you, the watch has been going all the time we've been talking, but I didn't hear what it said. And once again, there was noise. My mind was distracted. So I press the letter C again.
20 seconds, 4 tenths.
I'm going to press it one more time, but then immediately press the space bar to show you how much time has actually passed on the clock of the stopwatch.
20 seconds, 4 tenths. 57 seconds, 9 tenths.
You see? All right, enough of this game. I want to stop it, and I want to reset it to zero. So I'll press dot 3. These are not chords, mind you, just dot 3 by themselves, by itself. Dot 3.
1 minute, 12 seconds, 8. Reset.
1 minute, 12, whatever it said. Okay, there.
1 minute, 12 seconds, 8 tenths.
That's what it said, and it's reset and ready to go again. If I want to leave the stopwatch and go on with other things, I enter a Z, as in zebra, chord, a Z chord.
Exit.
And it says exit, meaning I'm leaving, I'm getting out of here. Not only does your Braille and Speak have a stopwatch, it also has a countdown timer, whereas a stopwatch tells you how much time has passed while an event is taking place. The countdown timer can tell you when time has passed so that you can have some control over turning things on or off or tending to activities. Maybe you want to time the cooking of a meal, the length of time it takes for you to do some exercise, the copying of a track on an audio tape, and so on. In order to use Braille and Speak's countdown timer, you must first enter the stopwatch mode with O chord W. From within that mode, press the Braille number sign, dot 3456, not a chord, just the number sign, and this is what we hear.
Option W, stopwatch ready. Enter countdown minutes.
Enter countdown minutes, meaning how many minutes do you want to count down? So we'll tell it we want to count down 3 minutes and, 17 seconds. We'll do 0, 3. Remember, no number sign, lower portion of the cell. 0, 3.
0, 3.
Now, to tell it that that's all the minutes, we enter an E chord, E as in echo. This is a chord we'll be using very often, but this is your introduction to it. E chord.
Enter countdown seconds.
Now enter countdown seconds.
1, 7.
17, but the timing hasn't started. I haven't entered an E chord again. I will enter E chord and it will say
counting.
And there it goes. Now in less than 17 seconds, now it will give me the warning that it's reached the 3 minute point. And then it will continue to count along down to the end of the time. Just any time now.
3 minutes, 3 minutes, 3 minutes.
We're given 3 minute warnings. I'm going to stop the tape, but let the timer continue to run. I'll be able to check progress by pressing the space bar at any time.
2 minutes, 44 seconds remaining.
And when we get close to a minute, I'll come back to you. We're about 8 seconds away from the 1 minute mark now. Aren't you glad I stopped the tape?
1 minute, 1 minute, 1 minute.
And it warned us. Now we'll hold it again. Listen now what happens when I press the space bar.
0 minutes, 47 seconds remaining.
So we're within the last 47 seconds of our count. Here we are. I just checked the time, and here we come.
Time is up. Stopwatch ready.
Time is up, stopwatch ready, and to get out of the stopwatch, we hit our Z chord.
Exit.
And there we are. Now, because our Braille and Speak can do many tasks, it may be that we want to keep track of the passage of time while at the same time writing a document or doing some calculation, and we can do this. if we are writing in a document, as we'll be learning to do eventually, if we enter O chord followed by a number sign, should our counter be counting down, we can hear how much time is left. I'll show you. First, we'll go back to 3 minutes and 17 seconds.
Counting.
All right, now we're
3
minutes, 16 seconds remaining. I'm going to do an E chord to get out of the function, and we're in the Braille and Speak help file. So you see, there it is. Writing and reading functions, 3 minutes. That 3 minutes is not written in the document. You'll be finding out all about that later. Now let's see what the timer says. We'll do O chord followed by the number sign.
Option 2 minutes 42 seconds remaining.
Okay, and I can continue reading.
Uppercase locutor.
And so be it. There it is. Anytime we can check how much time is left on the timer from within the file with which we're working. It doesn't work from inside the calculator. You can't ask it within the calculator by using the O chord number sign, but if you're in the calculator, it will give you an announcement of the time at the 1 minute mark. I'll go into the calculator.
Calculator ready.
And we'll do
2 times 1, 7.
I'm going to park right there. Let it give us its warning.
Time is up. 3, 4.
Okay, time is up, and then I did the E chord to find out what the value is, and it said 34. So even within the calculator, although you can't ask it, it will tell you of the passage of time, as long as you keep the instrument on. Now, if you turn it off and then turn it back on, your timer is not going to be keeping an accurate count of your time. It can't turn itself on when it's off. On the other hand, if you exit with E chord and then turn your instrument off, when you turn it back on, the countdown timer will pick up its count where it left off, but it will only count while power is turned on to your Braille and Speak Classic. That's the news so far as the stopwatch and countdown timer are concerned. Now let's turn our attention to the calculator. Now the first thing we need to know how to do in working with a calculator is how to turn it on, how to enter it. And that is another option, O chord.
Option.
Followed by the letter C.
C calculator ready.
Remember, we did that a few minutes ago when we were working with a countdown timer. Once we're in the calculator, we have the ability to do simple addition, subtraction, multiplication, or division, and also to take advantage of the powerful scientific calculator that is built into your Classic. When we're through with our arithmetic work, we enter Z chord.
Exit.
And we exit the calculator. When we're finished with the calculator, we'll be talking about setting the speech to deliver information in various ways. We can have numbers spoken as we enter them, or we can have them entered without voice feedback.
1 plus 2 plus 3 plus 4 = 0.
Or without voicing like this.
1 0.
The signs of operation which the calculator recognizes are these. For plus, dots 3, 4, 6. Not a chord, it's the Braille ING sign. Dots 3, 4, 6. To write a simple 2 plus 2, we would enter 2, dots 2, 3, plus the ING sign, followed by dots 2, 3 again, and finish it off with E chord. It would sound like this.
2 plus 2, 4.
Dots 3, 6, the hyphen, is the minus sign. 9 minus 8 would be written 9-8. These are written without spaces, written all together, and then followed with the E chord.
9 minus 8, 1.
The times sign, the multiplication sign, is represented by the asterisk or the star. Now, this is the CH sign, dots 1, 6. We're writing this in ASCII Braille. ASCII is the American Standard Code for Information Interchange. And ASCII Braille is that Braille which would be produced if a Braille printer were connected to a computer and no grade 2 translator were being used. What comes out of the computer is exactly what you'd get. And if the asterisk were sent from the computer, it would produce a CH sign, dots 1-6. So, to multiply 2 times 3, we would enter 2 star, or CH sign, 3, all together, no spaces, followed with E chord.
2 times 3, 6.
The sign for division, or divided by, is the slash, or the ST sign, braille dots 3-4. 10 divided by 2 is written 10 slash 5, followed by E chord, and it sounds like this.
10 divided by 2, 5.
That, of course, is true, no matter how large the number.
5-0-0-0 divided by 2-2-5-0-0.
There are two ways to find percentage. One is simply to use the percent sign. That's the SH sign in Braille, dots 1-4-6. To find 6% of $25, you would write 6% 25.00. You'd never use dollar signs or anything of that sort, just the numbers. 6% 25.00, like this.
6% 25.00.
Then E chord.
1.5.
Or you can simply multiply 25.00 by 0.06.
25.00 times 0.6, 1.5.
To find the square root of a number, you enter the number and follow it immediately with an AR sign chord, dots 3-4-5 chord. This is a chord actually used in calculation. It goes like this. Let's suppose we want to find the square root of 1,936, because it comes out even.
1,936,44.
I'll do it again.
1,936.
Now the AR chord, the square root chord.
4-4.
And we get our result. Always, to obtain the result of a calculation, we enter E chord. Except, of course, in the case of the square root, when it's given automatically as soon as we enter the square root chord. Now, it is possible to check the steps of a calculation before we ask for our result. Take the problem 27 times 2 divided by 6. 27 times 2 will give us 54, and when we divide it by 6, we'll obtain 9.
27 times 2 divided by 6, 9.
No surprises, see? But now let's do it again.
27 times 2 divided by 6.
Did I enter all the steps I intended? Let's see. To do this, we enter C chord, C as in Charlie.
27 star 2 slash 6.
And we proceed with the E chord.
9.
And obtain the result we wanted. So C chord, think of C for check. The steps of a calculation before you ask for your result. If you follow along either in the manual or the reference card, you'll see that the next item is recall last result. And here you're asked to use the letter R in your calculation. Remember, our last result was 9.
9.
It remains. Remember, every time you hit E chord, it's going to say 9.
9.
Now, if we want to use that result without having to enter the number again in the next calculation, we can enter R for result of the previous calculation, the most recent calculation, times 5, R times 5, and we should get 45.
R times 5, 45.
What happens now if we do R times 2?
R times 2, 90.
We get 90 because our result of the most recent calculation was itself 45. When we enter R, we're multiplying that result, 45 times 2. So it's an ongoing result, and there are times when it can come in mighty handy. To clear the calculator for any reason, possibly we think we've made a complicated mistake, we want in any case to clear the calculator, at least the current working area. It does not in and of itself clear the memories that we'll be talking about later. The command is zero chord, dots, 356 chord. The last result we obtained was 90.
90.
Now if we clear with a zero chord, a dots, 356 chord,
clear.
Now we look and we find
0.000000000.
Where did all those zeros come from? They came from the fact that the calculator is set to work to a precision of seven places.
0.000000000.
If we don't need to work with that level of exactness, we can cut precision down to, well, to one, or conceivably raise it to as much as 12. Seven or eight are pretty well standard. For calculations involving money, three is a good level of precision, and to set the precision, you enter P chord,
enter precision,
followed by a number.
Three. Okay.
Now, let's look at those zeros again.
0.000.
After entering the three, I pressed E chord and was told okay, meaning the new precision value was accepted. Then a second E chord showed me the new result, 0.000. The calculator built into the Classic has 25 usable display storage registers. The value of the display can be stored in a memory and called upon at a later time. If we have 12 problems to work out, we can store the result of problem 1 in A, 2 in B, 3 in C, and so on. And then, when it comes time to write answers down, can go through the display storage registers or memories one by one and write the answers. Later, you'll find out just how it's possible to pop those results into a document with which you're working. These storage registers are labeled A through Z, but remember R was used for the result of the last calculation, so you can't use that one. Let's do something interesting. We'll do a few exercises, simple ones, and enter the results in the various display registers.
2 times 2, 4.
All right, we've got a result of 4. We want to store it. We enter S chord, S for storage.
Store.
And we want to store it in memory A.
A, okay.
All right. 3 plus 2.
3 plus 2, 5.
Let's store that one.
Store.
In B.
B, okay.
Now.
3 times 2, 6. Store. C, okay.
Okay. Now. In memory A, we have
A, 4.
In B,
B, 5.
In C,
C, 6.
All right. Instead of entering 4 plus 5 plus 6, which would give us a result of 15, we'd be adding 4 and 5 to obtain 9, and then 6 more to get 15, we can do
A
plus B plus C.
C.
Now, it's true, that saves very little in the way of keystrokes, but suppose this. I've just put some big numbers, five-digit ones anyway, into the calculator's memory.
8, 1, 5, 2, 6, 7, B, 2, 9, 3, 8, 4, C, 9, 7, 2, 4, 1.
Now let's do
A plus B plus C, 1, 4, 1, 8, 9, 2.
Now, I want to show you something. We're going to enter 729 and store it in A.
7, 2, 9. Store A, okay. A, 1, 4, 1, 8, 9, 2.
Hey, wait a minute here. What happened here?
7, 2, 9. Store A, okay. A, 1, 4, 1, 8, 9, 2.
Okay, you see what's happening?
1, 4, 1, 8, 9, 2.
That was the result we got when we entered A plus B plus C. That was the result that was in the storage in the display register, the register that's called up when we enter our E chord to get a result. So let's do this. 729.
729.
Now E chord.
729.
Next, store A.
Store A, okay.
Now look at A.
A, 729.
In order for a number to be stored in memory, it must first be in the display and called up from the display, the result display. So enter your number, enter E chord, and then store in the memory of your choice. To call the number up from memory, just enter the letter of that memory followed by E chord. Remember we had that great big old number in C?
C. 97241.
Now that's not the result of A plus B plus C. That was the number that had been stored in C went before we made the addition of those three numbers. Now, let's look at C again.
C, 97241.
I know, but what does that number mean? Let's do an F chord.
Safe number.
And do C, again.
97241.
F chord switches between say full numbers and
say digits.
The toll-free number of the American Printing House for the Blind is area code 800.
2231839.
Just in case you didn't get it, the toll-free telephone number for the American Printing House for the Blind is 800.
2,231,839.
I'm sure you got it that time. F chord is what toggles or flip-flops back and forth between the saying of digits and saying full numbers. Now let's turn our attention to the scientific calculator. My function here is not to teach you arithmetic, but to show you how to use the calculator. In the manual and the reference card, you'll hear the expression argument, abbreviated ARG, A-R-G. For our purposes, the argument is that portion of an expression which is enclosed within parentheses. In the reference card, we find ABS, left paren, argument, right paren. So, to find, let us say, the absolute value of 25, we would write ABS like this.
A-B-S.
Left paren, that is the OF sign, dots 1, 2, 3, 5, 6.
Left paren.
2, 5.
2, 5.
Right paren.
Right paren.
And that's dots 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, the WITH sign. And then we follow it with an E chord.
2, 5.
So to go through it again.
A, B, S, left paren, 2, 5, right paren, 2, 5.
And there you are. Next command on the list is MOD. Left paren arg 1 comma arg 2, right paren, and that gives the remainder of the first argument divided by the second argument. So, if we were going to divide 300 by 119, we would write it this way.
M-O-D, left paren, 300, comma, 119, right paren.
And then our E chord.
62.
And the remainder would be 62. That's the remainder or the modulus. For square root, the scientific calculator recognizes SQRT, left paren argument, right paren. But remember, we also have the AR chord, the dot 3, 4, 5 chord that we discussed earlier. To find the square root of 1936, we would write and then E chord again.
4, 4.
Now, instead of going through the commands one by one and explaining the syntax of each, we'll look at a few of them that might be worth special mention. To find the average of a group of numbers or arguments, you would write AVG, left paren, argument 1, comma, argument 2, comma, and so on. Finish with right paren, followed by E chord. Let's suppose we want to average 10, 15, 20, 25, and 30. We would write
A, B, G, left paren, 1, 0, comma, 1, 5, comma, 2, 0, comma, 2, 5, comma, 3, 0, right paren.
The value for pi can be obtained simply by writing pi and following this with E chord, like so.
3.1415927.
In the same way, we can multiply a number times pi.
77 times pi 241.9026379.
Or we can divide a number by pi.
77 divided by pi 24.509860.
The calculator in your Braille and Speak Classic contains two sets of logarithmic tables. One is for natural logarithms, logarithms to the base e, and the other is for common logarithms, or base 10 logarithms. To work these out, you write log 10, L-O-G 10, left paren, the number whose logarithm you're trying to locate, right paren, e chord. To find the anti-log, you write A-L-O-G 10, left paren, logarithm, right paren, and you then are given the anti-logarithm. The standard deviation of a set of values is obtained by writing the six-character expression STDDEV, left paren, and then each argument separated from its neighbor by a comma, again finished with right parenthesis and E chord. There are other calculator commands which are both interesting and fun to play with, but they're all straightforward and should offer you no difficulty when it comes to using them. So we'll leave our discussion of the calculator and consider speech controls. By setting speech parameters or speech operating controls, we are able to control the way in which the Braille and Speak Classic presents information to us. We can change the volume, rate, pitch, frequency of speech, the amount of punctuation given, and the way in which numerals are voiced. In order to set speech parameters, we must enter the speech parameter menu, and to do this, we enter an AR sign chord, dots 3, 4, 5, and the space bar. When we do, Braille and Speak says,
set speech parameters.
To leave this menu, we enter E chord, and when we do, we hear
exit.
So far, in our work together with the Braille and Speak, we have used the default value for rate, pitch, volume, and so on of speech. That is the value which is built into the Braille and Speak when it came from the factory. Now let's play a little bit with the speech controls. First, we enter the speech parameter menu.
Set speech parameters.
If we press dot 4 by itself, not a chord.
Louder, 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 softer, louder. Now the Classic is talking at maximum volume. This is as loud as it is able to talk.
By returning to the speech parameters menu.
Set speech parameters.
And pressing dot 1 repeatedly.
Softer, soft, softer, softer, soft, softer.
As it spoke, you may have heard the volume gradually increase. That was a function of the tape recorder, the automatic volume control of which was turning itself up because of the low volume of recording it was receiving. I was tapping the keys quickly, and so the words louder and softer were not finishing, although the commands were being obeyed. Now, listen as we increase the speed. This is done by pressing dot 5 from within the speech parameter menu.
Faster, 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 faster.
Now maybe that was a bit too fast.
This is the fastest rate at which the machine is able to talk. Can you understand this?
What it said was, this is the fastest rate at which the machine is able to talk. Can you understand this? Listen again, please.
This is the fastest rate at which the machine is able to talk. Can you understand this?
You? I'm going to enter the speech parameters menu with an AR chord.
Set speech parameters.
Press the letter M.
Most punctuation. Exit.
Exit, and then repeat the sentence.
This is the fastest rate at which the machine is able to talk, period. Can you understand this question mark?
Notice the difference. This time you heard the period at the end of the first sentence and the question mark at the end of the second. Within the speech parameter menu, if we press dot 3 repeatedly, we will cause the speech to become lower and lower in pitch. Dot 6, by itself, has exactly the opposite effect. When it's up at this level, it sounds a bit strange, and for the most part, you'd never want to listen to it this way. This is just to show you something about the range. One other effect is a frequency change. Dots 2, 3 lower the frequency. Dots 5, 6 raise it. First, we'll lower.
Set speech parameters. Frequency. This is the low end of the frequency scale as set with dots 2 and 3. Both pitch and frequency are extremely low.
Now the other end of the frequency range.
Set speech parameters. Frequency. This is normal pitch, but highest frequency. Now we have a combination of high pitch and frequency.
Well, so much for the special effects. Now, it is possible to set the Braille and Speak Classic so that as you write, each letter is spoken as you enter it. To do this, we enter the speech parameter menu with the AR cord.
Set speech parameters.
And we press the space bar.
Key echo.
Key echo is what it said, and what it means is that each keystroke will be voiced or echoed. First, we exit.
Exit.
Now, A, B, C, D, E.
A, B, C, D, E.
Now we go back to the speech parameter menu.
Set speech parameters.
Press the space bar again.
Key click on.
Key click on. We exit.
Exit.
And we'll write A, B, C, D, E again. Those clicks are to let you know that the instrument is working, it's taken power, and is reacting in response to your keystrokes. One more time.
Set speech parameters. Silent keys. Exit.
Silent keys mean just that. Keystrokes will not be voiced. I wrote A, B, C, D, E, and with careful listening, you may have been able to hear the sound of the keys being pressed. Now, what setting is best? Well, that'll be up to you to decide as you work with your Braille and Speak Classic. In the past few minutes, you had Braille and Speak going through its paces, demonstrating pitch, rate, frequency, and so on. Listen to part of those sentences again.
Now the Classic is talking at maximum volume. This is as loud as it is able to talk. Now please listen as the Braille and Speak speaks in its softest voice. This is the fastest rate at which the machine is able to talk. Can you understand this? Now I am talking with a very low-pitched voice.
That was set with no punctuation. Now we'll set it for most punctuation, and the way we do that,
set speech parameters,
is within the speech parameter menu, we enter the letter M,
most punctuation,
exit, and
top of file.
We'll listen to that again.
Now the Classic is talking at maximum volume, period. This is as loud as it is able to talk, period. Now please listen as the Braille and Speak speaks in its softest voice, period. This is the fastest rate at which the machine is able to talk, period.
The letter T gives us total punctuation. I think you won't want to use this often.
Total space punctuation space. Space now space the space Classic space is space talking space at space maximum space volume period space space this space is space and space loud space and space it space is space able space to space talk period.
All right, already. In our discussion of the calculator, we said that the calculator was able to speak numbers or digits. If, when we're in the speech parameter menu, we press the letter N, as in numeral, it will flip-flop or toggle between
say full numbers
end.
Say digits.
We're in the say digits mode, so listen to
That's
this.
It. The phone number of the American printing Charles for the blind is 800-223-1839. Set speech parameters. Say phone numbers. Exit. The phone number of the American printing Charles for the blind is 800-223-1839. I am writing this text in the year 1994. I am writing this text in the year 1994. I am writing this text in the year 1994.
Now, how did I do that? We had the number of the year expressed in three ways. 1994, 1994, and 1994. The way I was able to produce that last effect, 1994, was by placing a space between the 1-9 and the 9-4. As you read through the manual or the reference card, that little summary of commands, you may be wondering what on earth speech box mode is. It may be something you'll never use. If you have an MS-DOS, an IBM-compatible computer, and want to read its screen with speech, you'll need a screen access program such as PC Master, available from Blazy Engineering, or one of the other popular screen access programs, ASAP, Flipper, JAWS, Vocalize, and so on. Many of these programs are able to work with the Braille and Speak, using it as a speech box, as the speech synthesizer, which gives voice to the screen access program. To put your Braille and Speak into speech box mode, enabling it to serve as an external speech synthesizer, you can simply enter the speech parameter command twice in succession, like this.
Set speech parameters.
Again.
Speech box mode on exit.
Now there, it entered speech box mode and exited the speech parameters menu. Now, the Braille and Speak is in speech box mode. If I enter this command again, it will turn speech box mode off and exit.
Set speech parameters.
Again.
Speech box mode off, exit.
So that's one way, by entering the AR chord, dots 3-4-5 chord, twice in succession. Another way is to enter the AR chord.
Set speech parameters.
Followed by the full cell.
Speech box mode on.
All right. Now I'm in speech box mode and must exit with an E chord in the usual way.
Exit.
To leave this speech box mode, we enter speech parameters again with the AR chord.
Set speech parameters.
Again, the full cell.
Speech box mode off.
And exit.
Exit.
Now remember, when we entered speech box mode with the full cell, it was not the full cell chord. It was just the six dots, the F-O-R sign, Braille dots 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. There is, for those who need it, an enhanced speech box mode. It has to do with the way that the speech synthesizer and screen access software in the computer communicate with each other. If this is of no concern to you, don't worry about it. However, experimentation may help you find the best results if you need speech box mode at all. To get into the enhanced speech box mode, you set the speech parameters.
Set speech parameters.
But this time you do the full cell chord, all seven keys.
Enter L for line or B for block handshake.
Enter L for line or B for block handshake. And that has to do, as I say, with communication between the screen access program and the synthesizer. I'm going to enter the letter L for line.
Speech box mode on.
Speech box mode on is what we hear, and we exit with an E chord.
Exit.
And are in speech box mode, enhanced speech box mode, with line handshaking. We could have entered the letter B for block handshaking, and again would have had to exit. That ends our discussion of speech parameters and the speech controls. Experience will tell you just what is the best speed and punctuation level, pitch, rate, and so on, to use in working with your Braille and Speak Classic in order to read text. And to read text is exactly what we're going to do next. Now we're going to discuss reading activities. Built into the Braille and Speak is a document called the Help File. This is a summary of all the commands, well, most of them anyway, to which Braille and Speak Classic responds. For our purposes here, it will also be an excellent source of practice material for reading. Chances are, when you turn your Braille and Speak on, it will say, Braille and Speak Classic ready, help is open. But if it doesn't, no matter. All you have to do to get to the help file from wherever you are within Braille and Speak is to press the TH sign chord, dots 1, 4, 5, 6, and the space bar. The Braille and Speak Classic with which I'm working has a number of files. I'm in the last file on the file list. We'll be hearing more about that later.
File number 10, word, one page.
File number 10, its name is Word, and it is one page long. That page is not an ink print page, it's a Braille and Speak page, and again, we'll be hearing more about that later. Now, all I have to do to jump from
file number 10, word, one page
to the help file is to press the TH sign chord, like this.
Help is open.
And there we are, that quickly. We're going to consider three procedures almost taken together. We want to read the current line, the line on which our cursor rests, the next line, and the previous line. Remember, the space bar divides the keyboard in half. Activities in a forward direction take place to the right of the space bar. Activities in a left or backward direction take place to the left of the space bar. And if we want to read the current line, word, or paragraph, we straddle the fence, in a manner of speaking. We use both the right and left sections of the space bar. Now, I'm at the top of the help file. I want to read the first line, which is the current line. The letter C, chord, reads the current line. Think of C for current. So,
help file.
All right. Help file. Dots 1-4 chord.
Help file.
Now, to read the next line, we would go forward with a dot 4 chord.
Writing and reading functions.
Writing and reading functions. That has now become the current line. If we wanted to hear that line again, it's the current line, so we read it with a C chord.
Writing and reading functions.
To go ahead again, we would use dot 4 chord.
Uppercase next character U chord.
Uppercase next character U chord. Now, if going forward uses dot 4, the key to the right of the space bar, how would we back up a line? How would we read the line that said writing and reading functions? How would we back up to it? We'll do it by using dot 4's opposite number to the left of the space bar, dot 1 chord.
Writing and reading functions.
If we do that again, we'll be...
Help file.
There we go, backing up to the top of the file.
Top of file.
And if we continue, it says top of file, as it has just done. As we move away from the space bar, the extent of our movement through a reading activity decreases. It goes from line to word to character. Now, if dots 1-4 chord read the current line,
help file.
To read the current word, we would press dots 2-5 chord, middle C.
Help.
That's the current word. If we press that same key set of keys again,
H-E-L-P space.
H-E-L-P space. Notice that the H was voiced in a higher pitch.
H-E-L-P space.
That's because the H is an uppercase or a capitalized letter H. The word space follows H-E-L-P because the space is used to define the end of a word. If you were to delete a word, as you'll be learning to do shortly, not only would you delete the word and any punctuation that follows it, but you'd also delete the first space that follows that word. So the first press of dots 2-5 chord reads the current word.
Help.
And the second press spells it.
H-E-L-P space.
To read the next word, we go forward with dot 5 chord.
File.
And file is now the current word.
File. F-I-L-E, return.
Oops. Didn't say space that time. F-I-L-E, return. That is the carriage return at the end of the line. Remember, the current line was...
Choke file.
And the end of that line was marked by a return. Now let's go forward with dot 5 chord.
File. Writing. And written. Functional. Uppercase. Next. Character. New. Door.
All right. And at one time you heard plink, plink. There were, in fact, two carriage returns, marking the start of a paragraph. When you go through a document a word at a time, you're going to hear those, and they represent end of line marking carriage returns. Now let's back up with dot 2 chord.
New character, next, uppercase, functions, written, and writing, file, shout.
We've gone forward and backward by line and by word. Now let's look at movement by single character. If you've been staying with me so far, you should have no trouble figuring out that to read the current character, you would enter dot's 3-6 chord, the current character being the one at which the cursor is poised. Our current word is...
Help.
And since help is the current word, the current character has to be...
H.
No, of course. Let's try that one again.
Hotel.
Hotel.
H.
Yeah.
Hotel.
Right. I press it once and hear the letter. I press it a second time in succession and hear the phonetic equivalent of that letter. In case you can't hear the difference between a B, a D, a G, a P, a V, and a Z, you can hear phonetic equivalents. I am resting on the...
H. Hotel.
So if I move forward a character at a time...
Echo.
E-L-P.
Space. Foxtrot. India. Lima. Echo. Return. Return.
And there it said the word return for those carriage returns.
Whiskey. Romeo. India. Tango. India. November. Golf.
W-R-I-T-I-N-G. Whiskey. Romeo. India. Tango. India. November. Golf. The phonetic equivalents of those letters. And if you want to back up through a word, it's dot 3 chord.
G-L-I-T-I-R-W. Return, return. E-L-I-F. Space. P-L-E-H.
When we're looking at print files, files formatted according to the print way of doing things, we can also move forward and back by paragraphs. A paragraph is defined as a body of text that is separated by two carriage returns or two carriage return line feed pairs. A single line, remember, had its line marker, the carriage return. It could also be a carriage return line feed combination. But paragraphs are double returns or double return line feed pairs. Now, to move forward by paragraph, we use dot's 5-6 chord. So then, to move backward by paragraph, it would be dot's 2-3 chord. Now, that's not going to work in Braille, because a Braille paragraph, remember, is a single line followed by a two-space indent. If we want to do that, we'll have to figure out another way of doing it, and we will shortly. Let's start at the top and go forward by paragraphs. First, dot's 5-6 chord.
Writing and written functions.
Remember, just before we got to that, we had two returns. Okay.
Writing and written functions.
Now, next paragraph.
Macros. Speech parameters. File commands. Communications parameters. Other functions. Time and date commands.
I'm moving through with dot's 5-6 chord. Now, there is no read the current paragraph command. You would go through a paragraph a line at a time. And I'll back up now using dot's 2-3 chord.
Other functions, communications parameters, file commands, speech parameters, macros, writing and reading functions, top of file.
Top of file. There was a single line up there, remember, that said help file, so it didn't back up any farther to read
help file.
I read that as the current line then. Another way to move quickly through text is to move by lines. If we know how many lines, how many carriage returns or carriage return line feed pairs separate us from where we want to be, we can jump there very quickly. The way to do it is first by entering a number sign chord, dots 3, 4, 5, 6 chord. When we do, Braille and Speak says,
enter number of lines to move.
Enter number of lines to move. I don't know what's there, but let's just take a shot at 44. I'll enter 4, 4, E chord.
4, 4, unprotect macros, enter U chord.
Unprotect macros, N chord, U chord. We'll get to that another time, but it jumped us there immediately. Now, that 44 took us from the top of the file in a forward direction. Suppose we wanted to back up. Well, to do that, we place a minus sign or a dash before the number.
Enter number of lines to move. 4, 4, top of file.
The dash wasn't voiced, but I did enter it, and it took us immediately to the top of the file. You can move by lines up to a maximum of 255. If you're working in a document, you want to mark a place there to look at something else and then come back to it. You can mark it with an M chord, M for mark.
Time and date commands.
All right, time and date commands. I want to mark this place, so M chord.
Mark, okay.
Now I'll go to the top of the file.
Top of file.
And jump to that mark. It's the same command, number sign chord.
Enter number of lines to move.
Only instead of entering a number of lines, I'm going to enter the letter M for mark.
M, time and date commands.
And there we are. Now, when we're reading, there are times when we will want to almost whisk our way through a file, reading first by paragraphs, checking out the first line of each paragraph, reading by lines, maybe by words. And having to do this with chords can sometimes be a problem. If we forget the space bar, or if we hit the space bar and forget the associated key, we're apt suddenly to be taken right to the end of the file because of the way the Braille and Speak operates. There is, however, a review mode. It is O chord R, and when we enter it, we hear this.
Option. Review on, OK.
Review on, OK. Now, all we have to do is hit the keys and not the space bar with them. To read the current line,
help file.
Just the letter C. To hear the next line, dot 4.
Writing and reading functions. Uppercase next character U-chord.
To back up, the letter A.
Writing and reading functions. Help file.
To hear the current word, just dots 2, 5.
Help. H-E-L-P space.
Hit it again and it spells the word.
H. Hotel.
Now, it says hotel because I hit dots 3, 6 twice. And if I go forward with dot 6, it will give us the word phonetically.
Echo, lima, pop, pop, space, flat, India, lima, echo, return, return, whiskey, Romeo, India, tango, India, November, Gulf, space, Alpha, November, Delta, space, Romeo, echo, Alpha, Delta, India, November, Gulf.
And so on. To ask the time, all I have to do is O. T.
Option. The time is 8:06 p.m.
That's all there is to it. And to get out of the review mode, virtually any chord command.
Help file.
I did an A chord that time. It backed up one line and said help file. But first it said off, meaning review mode was turned off. If you're following along with your command summary reference card or the manual itself, you'll find that the next topic is set window length. The window is an imaginary line. As you read, and later write with your Braille and Speak, it is as though you are working with a strip of tape one line wide and of a length limited only by the amount of memory in your machine. As a matter of convenience, it can be useful to place carriage returns in documents if you plan to print them and want printing to begin at the left margin. But it isn't at all necessary. The problem is that if you don't place a carriage return or some other marker to show the end of a line, when you go to read the current line, you could have the entire document read to you, and stopping it to check a given word could be difficult. For this reason, windows were created. These are imaginary lines whose length can be determined by you and which cover a range from 18, 1/8, to 80, 80. To do this, you enter P chord, and Braille and Speak will say enter parameter. First, P chord.
Enter parameter.
We then follow with W for window.
Window length 80.
Window length 80. We want a short window, so we'll change that to 18.
1/8.
And end with E chord.
Okay.
Now let's double check. P chord.
Enter parameter.
W.
Window length 18.
All right.
Okay.
All right, fine. We've got our window length set to 18, but how do we make use of what we've done? That's a separate command, and it is W chord.
Speak windows, lines, or sentences.
We're asked, speak windows, lines, or sentences. So far, we've only spoken or had the Braille and Speak Classic speak by lines. We'll now tell it W for windows.
Okay.
And it said okay. So now let's read and see what we have.
Top of file.
We'll go to the top of the help file.
Help file.
Well, that's not 18 characters long. Okay.
Writing and.
Oops. Writing and. That's all it was able to deliver within an 18 space window. It doesn't fill out the window, but it couldn't get the next word in to the 18 character window, so it had to hold it over.
Reading functions. Uppercase next.
Uppercase next.
Character filter.
And so on. If we want to take our text in short blocks, we can do it by setting the window length to 18. If we want the maximum, we can set it to 80, and we do that with P chord. W.
Enter parameter. Window length 18. 8, 0.
E chord.
Okay.
And then we would have to speak by windows, but we're already set that way, so it doesn't matter. Now, if there is a carriage return before it gets to the end of the window block, the reading will stop, but if there isn't, no matter, it will stop at the end of the window, which in this case would be 80 characters long. Remember our speech parameters file.
Now the classic is talking at maximum volume. This is as loud as it is able to talk.
All right, now I'm going to invoke speak windows with our 80-character window.
Speak windows, lines, or sentences. Okay.
Windows, and now we'll do it again.
Now the classic is talking at maximum volume. This is as loud as it is able to.
Wasn't quite enough to get the word talk in. I've turned most punctuations on within the speech menu, and I'm going, first of all, to have it speak by lines.
Speak windows, comma, lines, or sentences, question mark, okay.
All right,
top
now,
file.
Listen to this, please.
Now, the classic is talking at maximum volume, period. This is as loud as it is able to talk, period.
Now we switch to sentences.
Speak windows, comma, lines, or sentences, question mark.
S for sentence.
Okay. Top of file.
We're at the top of the file again, and we'll try this.
Now the classic is talking at maximum volume, period.
Notice that when we spoke by lines, it continued saying, this is as loud as it is able to talk, but it didn't do that. That's because this is the end of the first sentence.
This is as loud as it is able to talk, period.
I read forward as if it were the next line, but it isn't. It's just the next sentence. Reading by sentences can sometimes be convenient if you're trying to proofread a document for content. The other thing is a combination of review and read by sentence can be most useful when you're proofreading. There is a command which seems not to have made it into either the manual or the review reference card, and for that I apologize. It is one-handed mode on or off. There are some people who have only one hand, or at least the use of one hand or just a part of a hand. Nevertheless, it is possible to operate the Braille and Speak Classic with only one hand, or in fact, one finger. The way to place the machine in one-hand mode is to hold down dot 6 when the instrument is turned on.
One-hand mode on Braille and Speak Classic ready.
Now that the instrument is in the one-hand mode, in order to write with it, those keys which are to the left of the space bar are pressed either together or one at a time. We cross over the space bar and press those keys involved in the same character on the other side of the space bar and then press the space bar. First, I'll press dot 1. Nothing happened. I'll press the space. Now, dots 1 and 2 pressed together and then the space, and it said B. Dot 1, dot 2, dot 3, and now the space. Now, dots 1, 2, 3. Now I cross the space bar and press 4 and 5 together, followed by the space bar, and it produces the letter Q. Once it is spoken a letter, if I want to produce a space, I press the space bar twice.
Space.
End of side 1. To continue, turn the cassette over.
Yeah.